This is a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB digital radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com. Friday the 8th of May 2020. This is Stuck at Home, and just like you, we are all stuck at home too. By we, I mean me. I'm called Bex, and I am joined by my pal, my old Fun Kids friend, Dan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Bex. How are you doing today?
I am so good. Welcome back to the podcast.
It's delighted to bring my undisputed reign for a second day in a row. You've got the Stuck at Home champion on, Bex, with you, so I hope that you're really, really pleased about the brilliant idea that I've got coming your way.
Oh, yeah, let's please. I'll look forward to telling Connor, Sean, Josh and George that you consider yourself the champion. So in this episode, we are finding out about a mushroom canoe. Yeah, you heard that right. We're taking a dip in some prehistoric oceans, presumably without the mushroom canoe, don't worry. And as always, I'm Stuck at Home. Dan and I are going to give you a couple of ideas for you to do some stuff at home with. So, we are stuck at home right now, just like you. We're recording this podcast from our houses. I'm in Bex HQ as we speak. Dan, tell me, what have you been up to that our listeners can maybe try at home?
It's pretty small in that canoe, isn't it, Bex? I imagine it is quite tiny in there, isn't it?
You've not seen the mushroom canoe. It's actually quite big.
No, it must be small because there's not mushroom inside.
Oh, no.
When you see an opportunity, Bex, you have to take it. Listen, I used to be quite good at circus skills, but with one thing and another, I've kind of let it slip. And I've let the ball slip as well while I've been trying to juggle. That's the real problem. But with all this time we've got, I've been trying to re-energise my juggling. And it's really tricky to get back into. But when you've kind of got the hang of it again, it's really fun because it looks amazing. And it's almost mechanical. When you can slightly do it, it's almost like running. It's just putting one foot in front of another. It really is that simple. And it really does impress people. So I think that we should use the next few weeks to maybe try and get good at a bit of juggling. Here's what you need to do. Obviously, take your three balls. Any questions, Bex, so far? Sorry?
Yeah, I was about to ask for some help because you've tried to teach me this many times and I'm rubbish at it. But I feel like if listeners have some tips, maybe they'll be better than I am.
Make sure you have three balls, but start with just the one ball. Throw the one ball from your right to your left hand. Then throw it from your left to your right hand. Keep doing that a little bit at a time. Just to make yourself familiar with the size, with the grip, with the time it takes for you to throw one ball from one hand to another. Then get a second ball in the mix. Hold one ball in one hand, another in the other. Then you throw the one. It's really quite lengthy for me to explain, I've just realised. But you throw one ball from one hand, it flies through the air into the other. Right before you catch it, you throw the ball that's in that hand to the other hand. You see what's happening here? Do that a few times just to make yourself familiar with it. Take one ball, throw it to the other hand right before you catch it, throw another ball back. Do that independently every now and then. Keep doing that. Make it get quicker. That is the only pattern that is involved in juggling. Then when you need to add in the third ball, you just keep throwing one ball back in front, back from hand to hand to hand to hand. Don't think of it as three balls juggling. Think of it as one ball that's just switching, that you're throwing back and forth. It's quite tough for me to explain, Bex, but I think that will give you a head start in your circus skills. Just try and throwing two balls back and forth, then add a third into a mix. I hope I've done that justice. It was quite hard.
No, you really have. That really, my thought, to be honest, Dan, was that was such a good explanation. Why weren't you that patient when you tried to explain it to me?
It's because I can't see people, and because we've had a few weeks when I've just been in my bedroom, I think I'm becoming a bit more open-hearted. I'm becoming a bit more careful, maybe a bit calmer. But that's really what you need to do. You just throw one ball back and forward, keep, and then just keep adding balls.
It's such a good idea. To practice, I think, is the main thing. Juggling is something I'd wish I was good at, but now is the time. We've got plenty of time to practice, so we could just pick it up, literally.
I think juggling is one of those things that everyone wishes they could do, and really, it's quite a simple wish to fulfill. You just need to take the time to learn how to do it. There'll be loads of videos on the internet, and guess what? You've got the time right now to learn how to do it, so that's what we should do. Bex, have you been doing something as skillful and artisan as I have been?
Artisan makes me think of bread. Yes and no, Dan. Two words, laser quest. Two more words, crepe paper. Hold on to your hats, everybody.
I mean, I've got it. I think I've already got it, but go for it.
So I found this amazing tutorial online where, so you know in films, there's always like a big action, not always, I mean, not in like, you know, Wind in the Willows, but often there is an action sequence with laser.
Happens all the time in Wind in the Willows. I don't want to spoil it, but the ending has got an amazing laser quest sequence. You won't believe it.
So in films, often when they like break into museums or banks, there's laser beams everywhere and the hero or the villain has to kind of climb in and like manage their way through all the laser beams. So the idea is basically making your own laser beams, but out of crepe paper or crepe paper, depending on how you pronounce it. So the idea is if you've got a corridor in your house, you get some strips of crepe paper, preferably red, because I feel like that is a... That's a laser colour, I reckon. And maybe some blue tack or some sticky tape on the end of it. And crisscross it across your corridors in different patterns. And basically, then you get to have a competition with your family to see who can get through the corridor of laser crepe paper and get to the end. And of course, crepe paper does break quite quickly. So you will know if you've not managed it, if you've not made it through ducking and diving and weaving, because it will snap immediately. And it's quite a fun thing for the whole family to get involved in. See if you can get through. I reckon dads might be a little less agile, or maybe mums have figured out a way to like do a worm on the floor to get through. Maybe your big brother is pretty good at football, so he's good at negotiating movements and stuff. You just don't know who's going to be good at this task. And it is quite
dads would take it serious, though. Sorry, dads would take it serious, though, wouldn't it? They'd get right into it, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I think there's always one person in the family who is weirdly competitive, and you're like, oh, I didn't think that would come from you, but okay. And it may be dad, maybe a nan. It might be a cat. Maybe a cat will try it as well. I don't know. But basically, this is a really cool game for all the family. You can get involved, make your own laser beam. No Wind in the Willows required.
I was going to say, do you know who would be brilliant at the laser beam?
Who?
Mole, rat, toad and badger from Wind in the Willows, because they're quite low. They can sneak right under. The thing is, with the crepe paper, you need quite a lot of it, don't you? Because every time you fail, it snaps a little bit. So you do need quite a lot to fill up your hallways. And the brilliant thing about the crepe paper is it's not hard, it's not rigid at all, so it's perfectly soft, so it's really, really safe.
So there you go. I think they're two really good things. If you're stuck at home like us, give those things a go. And tell us if you do. Send a message to funkidslive.com/stuck and you could appear in a future episode.
Now, we've been listening to a mini-series, or you can stuck at home. It's called Age of the Dinosaurs, where we've been finding out about the Jurassic period. We've found out all about the climate and about plant life. And today, we're taking a deep dive proper down into the water. We're learning about all the oceans that existed back then. And remember, as always, listen really closely. We will be quizzing you on the episode to see how much you paid attention to it at the end of the show.
Imagine going back in time, not 100 years or 1,000 years, but millions of years. To the age of the dinosaur. Welcome to the Jurassic period, which existed between 145 and 200 million years ago. With the supercontinent Pangaea continuing to separate, more and more big watery lagoons were forming, and along with the new oceans, were teeming with life, from the tiny to the monstrous.
Wow, so many animals. But where are the dinosaurs?
Dinosaurs didn't live in the sea, but all of the first creatures to appear on Earth did. On the seabed, you would see sponges that looked like squishy lumps, tiny corals that were building huge rocky reefs and starfish. These animals had been around for millions of years before dinosaurs, and are just like those you'd find on the beach today.
Hey, look at that huge shellfish with wavy tentacles. Cool.
That's an ammonite. It's a close relative of squid and octopuses, whose ancestors had already been around for 150 million years before the first dinosaurs appeared. They came in all sizes. Some were as big as 2 meters wide. The hard shell protected its squishy body, and its tentacles were used for swimming and catching food.
Quick, get out of the way! Something big's coming!
Make way for a plesiosaur, one of the Jurassic period's biggest beasts. Plesiosaurs were sea creatures with tubby bodies, 4 flippers, and a short tail. Some had long, slender necks and small heads, while others had huge heads but short, powerful necks. They were both agile and terrifying. Some of the biggest, like Liopleurodon, were at least 10 meters long. That's nearly as long as a bus. They had sharp teeth that could be over 30 centimeters long, They were the top predators in the ocean, feeding on whatever marine reptiles and fish they could grab.
Let's get out of here.
Away from the oceans in the watery lagoons lived even more sea monsters. Fast fish eaters like the ichthyosaurs were dolphin-like creatures with a tail fin and four flippers. Temnodontosaurus was a massive ichthyosaur, over 10 meters long, with huge eyes that helped him see in the gloomy water. Since ichthyosaurs didn't have gills, they couldn't breathe underwater and had to come to the surface to breathe, just like whales do today.
Paleontology. Pick.
Fossilized skeletons don't just tell paleontologists what creatures looked like. They can tell us a lot more. For example, from fossils of pregnant ichthyosaurs, we know that they gave birth to live young in the sea. No fossils of pregnant plesiosaurs have ever been found, but we know their ancestors laid eggs, so they probably came out on land to make nests, a bit like turtles.
I hope you were listening closely to that dive into the ocean in Age of the Dinosaurs, because at the end of this episode of Stuck at Home, Bex and I will be giving you three questions about what you've just heard.
All right, so I'm joined by writer Michael. Hey, Michael, what story do you have for us today?
Hey, so this is quite an incredible story. So a very smart student from Nebraska in the US has grown a mushroom canoe. So That is, you heard that correctly, a mushroom canoe. So Katie Ayers made the boat out of mycelium, which are the roots of the mushroom that live beneath the soil, and they are waterproof and can float. And what she did was put some mushroom spawn, which is the substance which mushrooms grow from, into this papier-mâché canoe-shaped mold. And it took 14 days for the fungus to grow and create this mushroom boat, which is a living thing and actually grows each time it's used. And she's taken it out on the water and paddled along in this mushroom canoe. It's quite a sight. I'd recommend people looking it up. And it just goes to show all the incredible things that living things are capable of. And just the wonders of nature. A mushroom canoe, who would have thought it?
The phrase mushroom canoe is not one I thought I'd ever hear in my life. I love it so much. So it grows every time it's used.
Yeah. And I suppose very sustainable. I'm not sure how often she's going to use it. I don't know how much it will grow until it might get a bit too big. But yeah, I just thought mushrooms, you know, you just, you know, eat them. I had mushrooms on toast for lunch the other day using the food we had left in the house before shopping again. But if I'd have known this, I would have thought, well, I'll save those and grow a boat with them.
Yeah, what a waste of mushrooms, Michael. You could have had a boat by now.
I know.
Ridiculous.
Irresponsible.
Well, that has appropriately blown my mind. I'm not going to stop thinking about that all day, to be honest. Thank you very much, Michael. And next time I see you, I hope to find out you've grown a canoe out of some kind of fungi.
Absolutely. It's my new life's goal.
Now, before we go, it's time to test you on that episode of The Age of the Dinosaurs that we heard earlier on. So here are your questions. Three on the way. Number one, true or false? Dinosaurs lived in the sea.
Question number two. Ammonites are closely related to which of the following? Is it A, squid, B, whales, or C, starfish?
And question three. Liopleurodon was a reptile from the Jurassic era that lived in water, but how long could it grow to? A, 1 meter, B, 10 meters, or C, 100 meters?
Dan, just can you say that word for me again, please? Because I really enjoyed it.
Liopleurodon.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I couldn't have said it.
It means smooth-sided teeth, don't you know? Anyway, stop distracting us from the main quiz, Bex. How do you think you got on with that? Listening right now, we're going to give you a few moments to answer the questions. Remember, if you need to hear them again, or if you want to listen to the whole of The Age of the Dinosaurs, really comb through it to check that you've got the answers, you can recap, scan backwards in your podcast app. And if you need some more time, you can pause the podcast now and then tap play again when you're ready. Right, let's get the answers, shall we? Number one, true or false? Dinosaurs lived in the sea? Turns out it's false, but here's the thing. All of the creatures that have ever lived on the Earth came from the sea originally. That's what you call evolution.
Question number two. Ammonites are closely related to which of the following? The answer was A, squid.
An Elaiopleurodon was a reptile that measured 10 metres. That's how long it could grow to. And yeah, as I say, it means smooth-sided.
Good knowledge, Dan. Thank you for that. So how did you do at home? Let us know at funkidslive.com/stuts. And remember, if you are stuck at home just like us, give those things a go we mentioned earlier. Get some juggling skills on the go. Practice throwing around your juggling balls if you've got any lying around the house. Let us know how you get on. Or perhaps, like me, you create your very own laser beam competition. I said quest originally. I know I had said it, but I meant laser beam, we all know. Anyway, that is it from Dan.
Bye-bye.
And from me, Bex. Remember to rate, review and subscribe wherever it is you get this podcast. And of course, you can hear more tomorrow. Bye. So that was a podcast from the children's radio station Fun Kids. Listen on DAB Digital Radio across the UK or online at funkidslive.com.